We get the hour underway, though, by welcoming to the program musician, radio host, producer, an activist, an actor, and now the author of a wonderful new memoir entitled Unrequited Infatuations. We are pleased to be joined by Steve Van Zandt. Steve, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, good to be with you, Richie.
Man, I'll tell you what, I started reading the book last night. I couldn't put it down. I read the whole thing. What a terrific read. And I wonder if in writing that book you followed your own advice that you talk about in there, that you just dive in and learn on the job.
Well, yeah, that's kind of been the pattern of my life. You read the whole book in one night?
I did. It was fantastic.
Wow, man, that's the first. I've never heard anybody say that. That's amazing. But yeah, you know, these kind of things, the same way with, you know, producing, you know, whatever you're producing, you know, producing records or TV or whatever it is, you jump in and just do it, man, you know. And the thing, you know, writing a book, you know, turned out to be, you know, trickier than you'd expect, because there's a lot, you know, you start to relive your life again, and you realize you did more than you remember, you know. you know, it's just hard kind of fitting it all in, but I had a terrific editor with Ben Greenman, and he really helped out a lot. So, you know, I think it tells a pretty, you know, pretty coherent story. Even though my life goes all over the place, you know, you start to see why it did, which was, you know, it helped me. It helped explain my life to me, you know, which was nice.
Well, there's a theme throughout it, though, and that's the passion for everything you do. And it's, in a way, that passion that brought you and Bruce Springsteen together. As you say, you were the only two freaks who thought rock and roll was everything.
Yeah, that's true. We bonded on that very early. You know, there was only about a dozen bands in our area, because the whole band thing was a new thing back then. You know, the Beatles appearing on TV started an entire cultural revolution all by themselves. And then, of course, that was followed by the entire, what we call the British Invasion, which was all bands, you know. And we had never seen any. I mean, if you went to your high school dance, it was an instrumental dance, you know. And you know, we had doo-wop singing groups. We had individuals like Chuck Berry and Elvis Presley, and, you know. But there was not a lot of bands. And so suddenly everybody had a band. And about a dozen of us got out of the garage, and the rest mercifully stayed there. And I had a band called The Source, and he had a band called The Castiles, and we just started running into each other, and realized that, you know, we were two of the few, you know, we were the only two people that we knew where rock and roll was literally everything. It wasn't some hobby you're going to do on the weekend. It wasn't something, you know, casual. We weren't casual about it. And that was a freaky thing to embrace, because it wasn't really a business until the 70s, you know. So you know, our parents were just completely freaking out. You know, they, being in a rock and roll band was, you know, second only to being a criminal, except being a criminal paid better, you know.
We're talking to Steve Van Zandt here on Downtown. A turning point in the book and a turning point in your life is quitting the E Street Band in 1984. And you talk about what a costly decision that was for you in many ways. But at the same time, it opened up a lot of new doors, including the activism that has continued to be such a big part of your life.
Yeah, my whole life changed. And one life literally ended at that point, you know, and I talk about it, you know, and you're then reborn. You know, you have to die before you're reborn, and that's what happened at that point. So the first half of the book is very, very linear, you know, talking about, you know, from New Jersey that grows up and becomes very successful in rock and roll. But then the second half of the book is really when things start getting more, you know, more interesting in a way, when I leave the band and now have to find an entirely new purpose in life and a new identity, and then start searching for, you know, the big questions in life, like why are we here, and what can we contribute while we're here, and that's when the political stuff starts to happen in that second half of the book. So it becomes, it's almost like two separate books in a way, but you know, we explain it as we go, and it was it was helpful to me to go back and realize why I did certain things and the justification for those crazy moves that I had that I did back then. And you know, it was nice to relive it. And yeah, you know, it's cathartic. You know, it helps you feel better about your life.
It's really powerful. I found it powerful. You talking about the fact that suicide became a constant companion for you, and that it was also empowering to lose your fear of death.
Yeah, it was an interesting dynamic that takes place when you realize you've blown your life. You know, everything you've worked towards your entire life is now you just blew it with one decision. You know, it can go one of two ways, man. You know, you can jump off the building, you know, you can jump off the bridge, or you kind of like become really focused on saying to yourself, well, since I'm here, and since I no longer have that, you know, that music sort of, you know, showbiz life, exactly, I'm going to make it count. I got to do something that really counts. You know, and so it helps you focus, and you become fearless. You know, because you're going into places that are dangerous, and you don't care. You know, because you're completely focused on the work. So it was an interesting thing that I think, you know, many people may go through in life. You know, where one part of your life ends and another one begins, and instead of seeing it as an ending, you know, you got to see it as a new beginning, and sometimes that's not really clear when the event happens, when it takes place. You got to give it a minute. You know, you got to have enough faith in yourself that you're gonna figure out a way to justify your existence. You know?
As somebody who still thinks The Sopranos is the greatest television show of all time, I loved reading about that, but it was fascinating to learn that there were a lot of times when you were talking James Gandolfini down off the ledge for a guy who'd been a character actor to make this move into being the lead in a show. It was stressful, but you were his consigliere off screen as well.
Well, we bonded. I think we bonded very quickly because I think we're both kind of character actors. You know, he was more naturally that, and I was more naturally a side man. You know, neither one of us, I think, had that front man, you know, inclination, you know, to be a leading man or a front man. You know, I think both of us were kind of more comfortable being part of, you know, part of an ensemble, part of a band, you know, and I think we bonded on that. I think, you know, because he had a wonderful attitude, you know, that was the opposite of being a diva, you know. When we were working, and he set the tone, I think, on the set. You know, got a little concerned. You know, are the other actors going to accept me as an actor or not? You know, I had said to David Chase, I said, listen, I feel guilty taking an actor's job. You know, because I'm not an actor. my wife's a real actor, Maureen. You know, I've seen her go to acting school for years and all of that, and she ended up playing my wife, of course. But I said, you know, but for me, I mean, I feel guilty taking an actor's job. He said, okay, well, then I'm going to write you in a part that doesn't exist, you know, and so he wrote me in a part, you know, and I think, you know, in the end, everybody had a terrific attitude. They were very helpful to me and turned out to be just the greatest acting school in the world. Yeah.
Unrequited Infatuations, the new book. Stephen, loved it. Love your work through the years. I hope we can get together again and talk for even longer. Thanks so much for being with us today, Steve.
My pleasure. So glad you liked the book.
And it is a great book, Unrequited Infatuations. So that was one of those record company deals, doing a little record company tour. So we had limited time there, about 10 minutes to talk with Stephen. But much as we did with Ellen Foley when we had that same situation, it went so well. We've reached out to Steve's people to see if we can get him on for a lengthier discussion down the road, because he was great.
Yeah, that was I could have listened to that for a whole hour.
And so much that we didn't even get to talk about through the years, and some great stories from the book. So hopefully we'll get a little Stephen back on for more down the road. But thanks again to him for joining us and talking about the great new book.